You are now listening to the Two Dads Run podcast, just two dads who run, talking about running and being dads and some other stuff.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Two Dads Run podcast. I am Gray.
This is Kevin.
And we are your hosts for the show. So this week we had a really awesome opportunity to talk to somebody that we were both really looking forward to because we're shoe geeks. And this guy is definitely one of the preeminent shoe experts on the internet today. Kevin, tell us who it is.
So Thomas Neuberger is going to be joining us in this podcast. And I'll tell you, Gray, after just speaking with Kira D'Amato and then now having the opportunity to speak to Thomas, it's just from one high to another high.
Feels like we're moving up in the world, doesn't it?
You know what? With how many people do we have subscribed now? 5,000, I think is what I saw. But
I think you added some extra zeros there.
I might have. But very excited. And you know what's really neat is before this was even an idea months ago. I mean, really, really months ago, we were listening to Thomas and everything about Believe in the Run and. I mean, shit, it helped us get the shoes that we're wearing right now.
He was absolutely, you know, what they do over there was absolutely a gigantic inspiration for us. I know taking a big hiatus from the sport, as we've, you know, discussed multiple times on the podcast, taking 20 years off, you know, shoe technology changed quite a bit in that time. So, I mean, I remember when we were running cross country and track back in high school, and it was basically, you know, everybody had the same Asics, you know, daily trainers that weighed probably 14 ounces a piece. And we all had our cross country flats and track spikes, but you know, the shoe game has come a really long way since 2000. So, you know, getting back into it, I was like, what shoe am I going to wear? And that was, you know, through doing some pretty extensive Google searches, I stumbled across Believe in the Run and their, you know, their opinion on shoes and you know, their performance and how they feel and all these different things really kind of became almost gospel for me. I ended up going with the Kinvara 11, which was okay, you know, compared to what I had run in for the, you know, back in 2000 or whatever it was, 2001. But then I decided that I needed something with a little more cushion in it, a little more support, because I was, you know, still back to logging some pretty decent mileage. And man, I put that New Balance 1080 version 11 on, or version 10. I get confused, but, and man, that thing was a revelation. Yeah. So I think you're about to find out here pretty soon. But man, those things are super, super, you know, soft and just a great daily trainer. So I was really happy with the results that I got from them. I know you've taken some shoe recommendations from them and previously.
Yeah, I mean, the New Balances is what I've been rocking for a while. You know, after speaking with Kira and her obviously being a Nike athlete and her telling us what she runs in, yes, I've been looking into them, but I literally just dropped over $400 on two pairs of shoes. So, yeah. You know, the Alpha Flies will have to wait for just maybe the next paycheck.
Yep.
But no, I love
the struggle is real. The struggle is real.
Maybe when we truly get 5,000 subscribers, yes, the Alpha Flies would be happening in the near future. But you know, Thomas, Megan, and Robbie, it's just neat to hear them and their take on just running and the people that they speak and. You know, the mix too, the personalities that they have, and you know, Megan, I believe she's a badass runner.
She's awesome.
I think she did sub three.
Yeah,
sub
three. At the Woodlands Marathon recently.
I'd have to think that she does, and I think those guys probably have confirmed that she just runs laps around them. So,
oh yeah.
But to get Thomas's perspective on, you know, how he started and what's, you know, been his passion and what's been driving them and what's on the horizon as they seek for world domination. It's a, you know,
kind of feels like they're halfway there.
I'd say that they are. So, but yeah, definitely was a good time speaking with him.
All right. Well guys, without any further ado, let's introduce Thomas.
Calm down before you stress up the groove. The energy a little different when the blessings are cruel. Talking to, just know I ain't no regular fool. Could be anything in the world, but I can never
toes, baby. You think a little too small. I got big goals, baby.
Hey everyone, joining us now on the show is Thomas Neuberger. He is the co-founder of Big Run Media, but many of you know him as simply as Thomas from Believe in the Run and the Drop Podcast. Thomas, hello, how are you doing?
Hey, good guys. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. No, we appreciate the time, you spending time with us today, and it's kind of neat to, have the tables turn a little bit. We watch your podcast all the time and love the shoe reviews, as Gray and I have a few upcoming races this weekend, and looking at some of your reviews here has helped us select the right one. But
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're,
what are you guys racing?
So I am doing a half marathon here locally in Cary, North Carolina. It's called the Cary Greenways Tour Half Marathon. And then Kevin, what are you doing?
So I'm doing a 100-mile ultra marathon from my house. It was originally going to be the Blackbeard 100 in the Outer Banks. So that race is still going on this weekend, but I decided to opt it out and do a virtual. And my background is in multi-sport triathlon, and one of the teams I belong to is the Fuck Cancer Foundation. So what I've done is created a 20-mile loops that I'll run from my doorstep, and the goal there is to just do it within 30 hours, and pretty neat. Have a couple of neighbors in the neighborhood support me, and I'll have hopefully one of my neighbors who said he'll run that 3 a.m. session for me. But so that's coming up this Saturday morning. 4:30 is about the time I expect to head out there and not die, hopefully.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, hopefully you don't die. That would be a bummer end to this podcast.
Yeah, it would.
We just got started.
Well, it's now just the Gray Show.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I mean, that sounds like a huge undertaking. Definitely something that I'm not going to do this Saturday.
Well, I'm going to try to, I've gotten a procurement of some more mobile podcast equipment. So I think I'm going to go out there and do a little quote unquote live remote from Kevin's Death March. And
Kevin's yard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Live in front of the yard. Yes.
So Thomas, we're both huge fans of what you guys do over at Believe in the Run and the Drop Podcast. And the Drop was actually, when I started listening to it, was one of our inspirations for starting our own. And we definitely want to talk more about that and Big Run Media. But tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, where you're from, what your background is, all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, I think there's like usually two types of runners. There's the kind that grew up running and did track and all that. And there's the kind that found themselves in their, early 30s, heavy and non-athletic, and decided to change and then fall in love with the sport. So I fall into the second half, and I grew up in California. So I did do like a little bit of track in like fourth grade, like that kind of stuff. And I remember, running a small 5K with like a friend's family. And when I say run it, it was like we walked with their family and that kind of stuff. So running really wasn't a part of what I did growing up. Now I was on sports teams. I played lacrosse when I ended up moving from California to the East Coast, and picked up lacrosse and some other East Coast. Well, I guess basketball and skiing and stuff are all regular bi-coastal sports, but lacrosse was certainly something new. So I guess there was a little bit of running in that. Obviously the old cliche of, most of my running was done as punishment.
Yep.
get in 2 miles before practice or something like that. But really, when I fell in love with running, it was when I was in my 30s, and it just kind of came into my life. And kind of once I started, I was like, I'm never losing this feeling. So I just stuck with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I kind of fall into both of those camps. So I was, Kevin and I were high school teammates in cross country and track. We even ran on a relay together, but I stepped away from the sport for a solid 20 years. So just kind of getting back to it. So yeah, I definitely feel you on that, getting to it late, and I wish I would have been more active in my 20s with it, but now I'm kind of on
I wonder though, like you talk to these guys that ran competitively, and getting older for them has put them in a situation where they're not as happy with their running because they had these glory days where, wasn't that hard to run, sub 5 minute mile or this and that. So when they get older, they're like, they lose some of the joy that maybe some of us who took that time off or never came to it until a little bit later. You know, we can get, you know, new PRs and new stuff that's attainable.
Yeah. We talked to Kira D'Amato last week, and she echoed a lot of what you just said, is that, you know, that time off for her really gave her a chance to, A, gain some wisdom and some insight into the sport, but also kind of took some of the pressure off, and she felt like, you know, she was more in a better mental space, having some other priorities now added to her life, and then, you know, also having some fresher legs than most, you know, athletes that are nearing the end of their career from a professional standpoint.
Well, I also think it's interesting with Kira, especially. I mean, one, she's adorable and fantastic.
Yeah, she's absolutely.
The fact that she was able to, you know, a lot of people say you have to make these choices. You know, do you want family? Do you want the running career? Do you want relationships? Do you want, like, all those things? I think why people gravitate towards her is because she's making those choices that work for her, and she's still able to make the other stuff work for her. So when you see somebody who can, you know, in some ways have it all, you're like, wow, that's impressive. And I think a lot of people will become fans because they didn't know that she was so competitive in college or anything. They just see somebody who, a realtor, that's a mother that, you know, can crush, and it's inspiring.
Yeah. Speaking with her just made me go back home and look at my dirty house and I can't even clean up my house. And I've got Kira D'Amato on the line. Oh, you know, one of the things, Thomas, that I found interesting, I listened to a podcast that you did, I don't know, maybe it was about 4 or 6 months ago. And you know, when you get older as an athlete, yeah, you know, to do 15-minute 5Ks, those things were great to think about. But now it's, you know, it's no longer fun. So you go out and run with somewhat of a, you know, a sense of purpose. It's no longer about you. It's you know, you being inspired to do maybe something for someone else. And as Gray mentioned, with the Two Dads Run podcast, with both of us being parents of daughters, and then you had mentioned that you yourself, father of two children as well, that you just have a sense of purpose for getting into the sport. And with that podcast I heard, I thought was really kind of inspirational, but it was your father, when you saw your father actually, that really kind of got you into running and why health and fitness has been somewhat your mission now in life. Would you mind expanding on that?
I guess people who don't know the story. When I got into running, it pretty much a low point, just physically and mentally. My father was just passed away, and you know, he had battled with, they're not even sure, it was like a cocktail of Alzheimer's and dementia, and he had suffered from it like early on. Like, he got hit with starting to have symptoms in his early 50s, and so I watched my father, who was, you know, we grew up in California. He was an active guy as far as, you know, we did a lot of outdoor things like long bike rides, river rafting, hiking, skiing, all that kind of stuff. So when I saw the disease hit him and it just kind of robbed him from all his physical stuff, and he slowly just deteriorated, his body was strong, but the mind was going, and with that, his activity just vanished. And you know, it was really rough, and I guess it was the first time I thought about mortality, you know, in a realistic way. And you know, when I started to run, and just to lose weight, but then I saw what it was doing for me mentally, and how it kind of was rewiring my brain. And so some of the fears I had about, you know, somewhat of that being like a hereditary condition, having, you know, we don't know what exactly happened. And, you know, obviously Alzheimer's tends to run in families and stuff like that. So in somehow his passing, you know, motivated me to get fit. But the benefits that I got out of running in general have, it's kind of surpassed that at this point. Like, I know it's good for me, but the things that have changed physically and mentally for me have been tremendous. And I'd almost say I love being fit, but the brain stuff is actually where I'm seeing the biggest payoff.
Yeah, I mean, we've Kevin and I have talked about it ad nauseum on the show, is the mental benefits of getting out and starting your day with a run. I don't do it so much in the wintertime because it's really tough to roll out of bed into the really cold, dark morning. But, you know, in the summertime, you know, we're both hitting the streets early, just like you do, and just really kind of getting that mental decompression. And just you already get that feeling of accomplishment so early in the morning. So I definitely see where you're coming from there.
Yeah, I'll tell you this, and she'd probably kill me for saying this, but obviously Meg, you know, I can tell the mornings where she's gone for a run and having gone for a run, yeah. My days are a little better. Instead of saying you need a Snickers here, we'll be like, you need a run.
Well, it's running is something, even though you got started later in life, it's obviously something that you're incredibly passionate about. You've built, along with Meg and your fellow colleagues there at Big Run Media, have built something that's really quite special between Big Run Media and Believe in the Run. I saw it's one of the world's largest shoe review websites. So, you know, and then the podcast as well now. So can you tell us a little bit more about Big Run Media, what you guys do and you know, kind of what the scope is?
Yeah, Big Run Media is kind of the umbrella company. So within Big Run Media, you could say that Believe in the Run lives there. And then additionally, we do marketing for other brands, specifically for races and brands directly under Big Run. So the same team that does the marketing for Believe in the Run and all that, you know, we will have clients that come to us and want that marketing for them. And it's not like, we started off on, you know, Instagram and more successful. You know, I was a creative director at a generalist agency. I left there and became the creative director for a social media marketing company. And then at a certain point, I wanted to focus on run-centric clients and really kind of follow my passion. And so I quit and started Big Run Media with the intention of Megan coming on when we would be able to afford her. And luckily for us, about 3.5 or 5 months after it started, Megan was full time working at Big Run with me.
So you were a one-man show, for a while.
When you pop out, when you do a startup, you gotta just do it on your own for a little bit. I mean, I was lucky. Like, Megan was able to kind of side hustle Big Run while we were working on it. But in the beginning, it was a lot of business development and just convincing people to take a chance and work with us.
Sure. Now, does Meg come from a marketing background as well?
Meg does. She went to the university, or Charleston, I always call it university. It's the College of Charleston, and has marketing background, business background from there. And then we worked together at the social media company for, I don't know, we were probably there for 2 years at the same time. And we worked really well as a team there. And we were like, hey, we could make this work, you know, for ourselves.
That's awesome. And Thomas, with your background in marketing for big name brands, how much did that play as far as the relationships when you started this new, you know, when you started this new venture? Were you able to kind of lean in on some of your peers?
I was working with companies like Sony and Gore-Tex Gore and a bunch of other large companies that I thought, well, geez, this is going to be easy. You know, I'll just tell people that and they'll come over. It wasn't that easy. We had to pretty much start, pretty much from scratch. Like, I got a couple lucky breaks early on where you're at the right place at the right time. Like, I was setting up my social media accounts and somebody from Athlinks was like, hey, what are you? So I pitched them, and I was like, they're like, okay, let's try this out. They had a project, and I ended up doing a project with them. And in that project, I got all the emails from the people that downloaded the guide to social media that I had done at the time. And so we went and started marketing that and started bringing clients on.
So when you started Believe in the Run, how long had you been around? How long had Big Run Media kind of been going before Believe in the Run started?
Well, that's actually the weird thing. Believe in the Run started in 2009.
Okay.
So it started before Big Run. Big Run is 5 or 6 years old now. I was doing the Trans Rockies. I don't know if you're familiar with the event. It's a 6-day, 132-mile or so. I forget the exact distance. Over the Rocky Mountains. Wow. So it's one of the most enjoyable, fun running experiences you can have. You basically wake up in the morning, you run your miles, they move the camp while you're running. When you get to the camp, they have the like shower truck, there's a beer truck, there's everything waiting for you, like a campfire going. You pick your tent, you throw your bag in the tent, and you nighttime they do like a little show and you get your dinner, and then you just run another 20 miles the next morning. It's a blast. But I was raising money for a charity in Baltimore, a Baltimore Child Abuse Center. And so I started a website to kind of clue people into maybe why they should donate and do that. And everybody just kept asking me about the gear I was using to train it. And then I got my first product sent to me, and I was super excited. It was a stick of Glide. And I was like, wow, I just got free Glide for writing.
Honey, guess what I got?
Yeah. I mean, I can't tell you, like that day I felt like I had made it.
Oh, yeah.
From there, you know, it was a passion project for a long time. And then we started really putting focus on it. Not that we didn't really put focus on it, like we had pumped out a ton of content and grown everything for years, but Robbie came on board about a year and a half to 2 years ago, and that's when we started putting a little more strategy behind growing Believe in the Run, and it's been effective. And then with the pandemic, a lot of our clients are races or events, so we kind of had to switch focus, and we put even more attention on Believe in the Run, and it's turned into quite a big project at this point. Well, I think it's going to eclipse a Big Run.
Well, that your shoe wall is a lifetime goal of mine. And
well, you've started, and I think your wife has actually told you to stop making that wall as of the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Well, it's fortunate for me. Meg also has part of the real estate on that wall.
Okay. All right. So
you just need to start, you know, maybe getting her a couple of running shoes with you.
Yeah. Well, my beautiful wife, Kristen, today was her third consecutive day in running. So she's trying, nice. She's trying to, you know, to get out there and be a little more active. It's been really, you know, just like everybody else, she's been stuck at home with the kids. So she's done an awesome job, but now she's trying to kind of get out there and pound some pavement. Well, you know, like I said earlier, we're both huge fans of Believe in the Run. As far as I'm concerned, your opinion on shoes is pretty much gospel. So I've bought several pairs of shoes due to your reviews.
Well, I always think it's interesting because, you know, you get down past the material and then it's like kind of like I like to compare it to like wine tasting or, you know, another thing that you can critique. It really comes down to like what your preferences are. And I think if you find it doesn't have to be our reviews, it could be someone else's reviews, but we have other people on the team, and you may find that like the way that Robbie likes a shoe or the way that Megan likes a shoe is a little different than I like a shoe. But I think that's what's good about the consistency and the long-term part of us having a site that's been around. You get to know somewhat of our preferences, and if they align to what you like and you're like, you know what, I love the Mach 4. When he says this shoe is like that and he enjoys running it, I know that I'm going to get a similar experience out of the shoe. I think that's where it kind of makes a connection. At least that's what I would hope.
So the New Balance 1080s, what's your review as of right now in a few seconds?
Oh, I love the 1080. Okay. I think New Balance right now is killing it. Like, if you have, I'll tell you, all four shoes, the New Balance 1080 V11, the Rebel V2, the More 3, and the new RC Elite V2. Like, if you have those shoes, you don't need any other shoes. You've got them covered.
So this Saturday, that's what I plan on doing, those 100 miles in the in
Which V2. One? You're going to do the 1080?
The 1080s. Good idea, awesome. Bad idea?
No, great idea.
Okay.
Over 100 miles, you might want to switch out socks, maybe a different shoe, just to have like a little different working of muscles. So it might be even fun, you know, to throw on something a little firmer at some point, just to switch up the feel so that you're not, you know, crushing it once you, I don't know.
I agree with you. And he was, he sent me a text and he was like, "Hey man, what should I run this race in?" And I was like, "Well, you're not thinking about running it in the TC, are you?" Because he trains predominantly in the TC. And I'm like, bro, that's a long way in a TC, my friend. But I was like, 1080, I don't have the version 11 yet, but I do have the version 10, and it's phenomenal.
It's pretty similar.
Yeah, and we actually have a buddy that works for New Balance here locally, and I sent him, when you guys came out with your, you know, comprehensive review of their entire lineup, you know, I sent that directly to him, you know, the day that it came out, and I was like, brother, it doesn't get much more of a glowing review than this. You know, you guys need to print you guys need to print this out and put it on the freaking wall or something, whatever you guys do at you know, at your office, and because this is, you know, spectacular. And I agree with you. I had the RC Elite, their first version. Didn't really work for me, but the 1080, I absolutely love it.
Yeah, I think you'll really like the RC V2. You know, I like it, but it just didn't have the pop for what I'm expecting from like a race day shoe.
Sure.
So, you know, I really feel like the RC Elite V2 gives you that feeling that was missing.
Cool. So Thomas, you've come a long way from your first stick of Glide. And I can imagine that feeling, because it's like, yes, you know, somebody thought of me that, bam, you know what, here, go promote this.
Yes.
So what goal, you've come a long way from that. So what goals do you have now? What goals do you have for Big Run Media, for the drop? You know, what's out there for you and the team right now that you guys are charging towards?
Yeah, I think we just got a new headquarters that we're decking out that's going to have, you know, video studio, podcast studio, a space for people to come and visit. You know, we'll have some merch and stuff there. And then we have offices above it. We kind of want to become, you know, I think of it more like, you remember those record stores when you were a teenager? Well, I'm probably a little older than both of you guys, but I used to go to like the record stores where you get the CDs and the tapes. And
oh yeah,
everything
we remember those.
We're
38 or, and 39, so we're okay. Still there.
Or the other thing could be like a skate shop. I was huge into skating when I lived in California, and I used to go hang out at and watch, you know, Pal Parral, you know, Bones Brigade videos in the store. And it was someplace you could hang out, and you met other skaters, and you got that vibe. You learned about the different bands that were out there, and you kind of developed your culture for what you did at those smaller shops. And we kind of want to create that vibe, and we want our extended, I would say, you know, obviously we want to create a physical presence for it, but we want our extended presence with our YouTube and our Instagram and our Facebook and all our different channels and the podcast. We want to create that running culture hub that is the kind of running culture that we dig. So, you know, we love Sidious Mag and those guys, and they lean towards the, you know, track side of things. I when I first started running and someone said, go run an 800, I had no idea that was two laps. You know, I was like lost. I was like going to people going, what is he saying? 1600? I have no idea what that is. So it's not really our space. Our space is kind of like, you know, a different kind of vibe, and you kind of see it towards the things that we gravitate towards. We want to elevate, you know, imagery and the look, the feel, and just kind of the vibe, and bring that kind of culture to what we do. And I think, you know, that's why there's plenty of room for multiple podcasts, for multiple, YouTube channels and shoe reviewers, because everybody brings kind of like their own flavor to it. We want to attract the people that dig like what we're into. So,
yeah, no, that sounds badass.
Yeah, I definitely identify with Robbie a lot with the partying and all of that. that whole chapter, I've heard him allude to it a few times. I'm like, this guy gets it.
Yeah, Robbie was in a band, and I will say that we're gonna play into it, even though it's not actually true. But people think we're high when we're doing it, and we're not. But we're gonna maybe lean into it a little bit.
That's cool. When you start getting, our producer told us the other day, when you start getting trolls, it's how you know you've kind of, you know, made it, so to speak. So there you go.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's funny. I remember first when Robbie started doing the videos with me, you know, he'd get a negative comment and it would bother him. I'd be like, they're sitting at their computer watching us. We're not watching them. You know, and it's like, yeah, you just have to. And then it almost gets comical. Like even, you know, Megan will, you know, when she first someone comments on YouTube or something that's not flattering, you know, it hurts a little bit. And I'm like, what do you care? And you know, now she almost jokes that she wanted to do like a YouTube of just, you know, the crappy things people
mean
say.
Mean tweets.
pretty much.
So this is probably going to be a softball for you, but, and I think I probably already know your answer, but what has been your coolest moment with whether either Believe in the Run, the Drop, or Big Red Media?
Well, I think, you got to know this one. I mean, I spoke to the God of Running himself.
The GOAT.
Yeah. And that, when I was so excited about that, and talking to Ilya Kipchoge, that I didn't believe it was going to happen until I saw him pop up on my computer screen. Like, I was like, this is not, there's no way. How am I possibly getting able to talk to this guy that I really consider like a, there's people in sport and then there's people in sport. And, you know, you think about, you know, Venus Williams for women's tennis is probably up there. Mike Tyson for boxing, you know, Muhammad Ali could also be up there. Tiger Woods for golf, you know, it's just, there's certain people that, you know, last, their impact is going to last a long time. And, you know, Roger Bannister, Ilya Kipchoge is the Roger Bannister of our, I don't even know if it's generation or where are we now? Like,
he's going to be up there all the time. I mean, Muhammad Ali, I see him. Yeah, no, it, so how powerful was that interview for you, Thomas? And leading up to it, I mean, you interview, you know, tons of people, but that week leading up to it, what was your preparation like? What were the, you know, what was the heart rate like? Can you walk us through that?
Well, normally we don't do a ton of preparation. We, you know, we'll look and we obviously, if we're going to have somebody on, we have a somewhat of an idea of who they are and what they do. And we kind of just want to have a conversation. With Ilya, we did have, you know, we knew that there might be a language barrier or understanding barrier, interpretation, that kind of stuff. So we wanted to have like clear stuff going in that we were going to talk to, kind of like an outline. So we kind of put that together, and Robbie and Megan and I all sat down and we figured out, you know, in general where we wanted to go. And we had an opportunity to kind of try to tie it into like our brand with the, you know, belief, you know, thing. So we did do more preparation than we normally would do. Now during the interview, like it's almost, when I watched it over, I was like, my head was so hot and my blood pressure was so high that it kind of all just kind of fuzzy went by. But, Jared, who does our wide foot, he just wanted to be there. So he's like, I'm in my living room. We had to do it on a Saturday morning at like real early because they're on a different time zone. And, you know, I have Robbie, Jared, Megan, we're all just kind of sitting there like in disbelief. Every time Ilya would say something, I would look over at the other faces and they're, you know, they're agape as much as I am. Like, I can't believe, you know, we're talking to Ilya. And then when he dropped the Kelly Clarkson thing on us, I think that was when the first time I like relaxed and breathed, because I was like, so not, I was literally expecting him to give me some musician I'd never heard of before, and I was going to put him on my Spotify list and stuff. And he said, Kelly Clarkson. I almost had to do like a double take in my head. but yeah, it blew me away.
That's amazing. I mean, I'm sitting here just listening to you recount it, having watched it and listened to it. And I'm still sitting here just cheesing like crazy. Like, man, that must have been so cool to talk to him.
It is so cool, but you know, it's almost like, it was, I wish I, you know, that people always say when you're in the moment, be in the moment and try to enjoy it. I think I was so nervous about, you know, messing up that, you know, I wanted to be respectful. I wanted to be, you know, make the most out of that moment. And, you know, it went by so quickly. And like, I forgot, like, I actually got more enjoyment when we watched it. When we did a live premiere of the podcast on YouTube. And so when we got to watch it with other people and kind of see the reaction, and then I got to see it from kind of like a viewer's point of view, I was like, this is cool. Like, yeah, I didn't do it exactly perfectly the way I would have liked to, but I feel like it came out in a way that, like, if you get something out of it.
That's awesome. And, you know, for people that follow him and that know his story, and I feel, when I listen to him, you know, not only on your podcast, but in different interviews or the documentaries that are out there on him, I mean, almost every single thing he says is a quote that you can document on how you should go about and living your life with purpose. Yeah. And the way that he looks at family, and, you know, with him being such a world famous athlete, and the way how that he doesn't even think about that at all. And it's just, you know, we sometimes as Americans look at, you know, we kind of get fixated on the wrong things. And I'll be honest, I do that. You know, I've done that in the past. And then you watch, you know, what the human spirit really, truly looks like when it's done the right way. And it's, well, just like, wow.
You know, what I love about him is that guy can smoke anybody on the planet, pretty much. There's a couple dudes who can hang with him. But if you know, say that you're even a sub elite or elite marathoner or something, he's going to treat you with respect and, you know, be humble. And you're not, I don't feel like you're going to feel like you're like he's come down from the clouds to bestow his kindness on you. I think that he just generally is kind. Mm-hmm. And I that's something I thought, you know, we've met people, we've interviewed people, and we've talked to people that I'm like, that guy's got a chip on his shoulder. And, you know, maybe, you know, whatever. In talking to Ilya, he was just such no chip. And like, someone referred to him as the Buddha of running. And I kind of feel like that fits.
So who you got, who's on your list now to bring on the show?
Well, we actually have the winners of the Gate River Run coming on. We're interviewing both this week, but you'll only get one of them on Friday. So Emily Sisson is going to be on this week.
Awesome.
And then Clayton will be on. Are we doing the following week? I think probably the following week Clayton will be on. One thing about Ilya, though, that we cut out of the interview before we go on him is my favorite part that did not make the interview is when he was talking to his wife, telling her to go get the Nike shoe he likes. And he switched into Swahili, but it was just funny to see how, like, it's just a normal, hey, honey, go get my, you know, go get this shoe for me.
You no, not that my one. Alpha no, flies? The other one.
Yeah, no, it was, he was grabbing he led the Nike trail, Pegasus trail. And he was like, you know, you could tell, I don't know the exact translation, but it I could do tone. It was, hey, honey, get my shoe. No, not that one. Put that one down. That, yeah, that one right there. Bring that one over. Yeah, and it just shows up in, on the screen. He's like, isn't this beautiful?
That's cool. Well, it's so comforting to know that the illusion is not shattered, you know, with that is genuine, you know, what he portrays to all of us, you know, to everyone is the real deal. So,
yeah, I think he is completely who, like, I don't think there's a pretentious or any type of screen up. I think that you're getting full unfiltered Kipchoge.
That's amazing. So we're gonna start wrapping up here. But before we do, okay. Do you have a 5-year plan for Big Run Media or Believe in the Run or the Drop or any of those things, those projects?
You know, I would say we do have a 5-year plan, but every year that plan has changed. So, you know, it's funny, we do a goal board. So I'm actually in my office right now and I can see my goal board, and you know, we put up our stuff that we want to get done for a year. And so obviously there's numbers we want to hit as far as our audience goes. And there's ideas for content that we want to provide. You know, one of the things was to put an office together, and you know, that's, we're now in, not even quite April, and we should be able to move in by mid April and May. So, you know, we just try to, you know, Meg's board would be her sub-3. She already hit that. And,
yeah, please, you know, tell her we said congratulations on that, by the way.
I sure will. Yeah, it was huge. It was awesome. And then, you know, so we have our personal goals up. So for 5 years, I'm in a, right now I'm not as much in a 5-year plan as in a 1-year plan, just because I feel like the trends and stuff change so quickly. And additionally, who would ever thought about, something like COVID or anything that we're going through. So it's really hard for me to plan out that far in advance when I don't even know, you know, what are races going to be like this fall, you know, and since we rely heavily on running and races and events and all this kind of stuff, it's, you know, our hopes for 5 years are global domination, but you know, We'll see how things go. But yeah, I mean, we want to just continue to grow. We want, you know, we want to build a community and have a place where, you know, running is something that's helping people have a better life. And we want to be part of that.
And I'll tell you, Thomas, you and your team, you guys have done an excellent job. As Gray mentioned, you've inspired the two of us to really come out and do this. 6-7 months ago, Gray and I, so here in North Carolina, there is the American Tobacco Trail, beautiful trail. And Gray is the only running partner that I know, because I like to talk a lot and so does Gray. So we're the only two that actually, when we go out together, that we'll actually talk. But if we ever bring any of our other friends, they're like, yeah, no, thank you. Screw you guys. F you guys. I'm done. I'm not running with you guys. So then we got the idea just from watching the drop that, you know, let's maybe just take some of our conversations to a podcast. And you were in our shoes at one point with an idea and a dream and really just a passion for, and still have that passion like we do. What's some advice that you can give someone, not only like Gray and I that have started this journey, but to others, as you mentioned earlier, that, you know, there's plenty of space for growth for other people that, you know, want to enter the space and running and put their own style and flavor to it. But what type of advice would you give to some podcasters like us and future podcasters that have that passion for running and everything that surrounds running?
Yeah. I mean, it's really similar to running in the fact that consistency is key. So if this is what you want to do, you just keep doing it. And like, honestly, I see people jump in or do something and they don't get the audience they want right away, or they're not seeing the response to their, you know, their work immediately, and they lose faith. And this is one of those things. It's like training for a marathon. You got to put in the work. And, you know, if you have a good race, you know, people notice you. But, in, you know, you're still going to race. You're still going to do the race no matter what. So it's just staying with it. The consistency of being there and not fading out. We have, you know, over the years, I've had lots of people ask, oh, how do you start a website? How do you do this? And, you know, I'm always like, I look at the person and I can tell those that are going to be successful just by, if I think that they've got the fortitude to stick it out. It's an endurance. It's the 100-miler you're doing. It's not the 5K. You just got to keep plugging away regardless. And that's why it has to be something you like doing. So for the first, you know, 3-4 years of believing our own website, you know, the traffic, yeah, I was excited if I had 200 people to the website in a day. You know, that was like insane. I was like, oh my God, you know, and before that, there was even less people. So that's the thing. It's like you just got to do what you love doing and not worry about so much the numbers and what's coming out of it. They'll come eventually and you'll get better. And that's the other thing is you don't need to be perfect. You just need to keep pumping out content and you'll get better. But I'd rather, when I started my videos, they sucked. And the equipment I was using sucked and the sound quality sucked. But as I kept going, I was gaining audience and upgrading my material, getting better and practicing. And they're still not perfect, but you know, if I waited till they were perfect, it'd be too late. So, I mean, don't wait to be perfect and keep doing it.
No, oh yeah. I'm totally fine talking to absolutely no one for as long as, for as long as I'm still having fun coming to the studio, which is a lot right now. So,
yeah, I mean, that's the case. I don't know, you know, you guys have, you also, you know, just drill down on what your strengths are, like your two dads. You know, you have a niche right there off the bat. And, you know, you have the tri side, you have the running side, and, you know, raising two daughters. And is it just two or you have more than two?
We each have two. Yeah.
Okay, so four
we're
daughters.
Staying away from you for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, luckily my boys are slow developers. no girls have come by yet. It's kind of like finding your niche. It's weird. You know, I was talking to the doctors are running, and like for them, I'm like, I don't have a doctorate. I can't talk about the physiology of running. Drill down on that. Be the experts on that. You know, it's like you find what your angle is and really work that angle.
Duly noted, sir. So now I'm going to flip.
I mean,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, take a look at Lindsay Hine. She's okay. Someone who has four little boys that are running around causing disaster. And people love listening to her show because they want to know how you manage doing all the things she does with, you know, four boys running around.
Wow. So. I wonder what she did to deserve that. So I'm going to flip the table, turn the tables on you a little bit. You have some end of podcast questions that you ask all of your guests on the drop.
All right.
So we'll start with the gear you have to have with you on every run.
I am pretty much shoes. And if I have shoes and glide, I'm good.
What shoes right now are you wearing, Thomas?
That you're actually allowed to talk about.
Yeah, I was going to say the shoes that I'm going to use for my workout tomorrow, which I'm actually like in love with. I can't talk about it yet.
I might have a guess.
you would have a guess. I posted a teaser video on my Instagram today. So, and by March 29th at 10:30 p.m., we'll be able to talk about them.
Okay.
But that's probably the most exciting shoe that I'm running in right now. But we also, like this week, we're going to be wrapping up a review of the Under Armour shoe, which I say is surprisingly unshitty.
I raised my eyebrow when you said that.
Yeah. The Skechers Go Run Ride 9. And, what was the other one that we're finishing up? Oh, I just got the new Hoka, the Hoka Clifton. I think we're at 8 now. Or?
Yep.
Yeah. So we'll be doing those. Those are what I'll be running in for the next week. So I kind of have to run in what we have on the schedule for reviewing.
Fair enough. And then last one, what would you be doing if it wasn't marketing for a job? Yeah,
I have a degree in psychology, and I kind of always feel like I missed my, when it was time to go on and get my master's, I was kind of at a weird stage in my life of, I was ready for life to go into like normal or post school. So I decided to finish there, and I didn't go on and get my master's and my doctorate. But I think if I was all the way back, that might be something I would look at. The other thing I would love to have started when I was like a teenager would be like being computer code literate.
Well, Thomas, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time today and for coming on the Two Dads Run podcast. It's been awesome. Been awesome chatting with you, and all the best things to Believe in the Run and the Drop moving forward.
Yeah, I tell you guys, have good voices, so that's a good start for having a good podcast. So
well, now we know that Kira wasn't just being nice.
Kira, we believe you. She's not bullshitting. So.
No, did Kira, she said, say that too?
She did yeah. Off record, but I was like, maybe she was just being nice.
No, you guys have very good like radio voices.
Oh well, thank you. Maybe someday we'll do a little cross in the streams there with Believe in the Run and the Drop.
And Thomas,
yeah, you guys got to come up. I don't know if you've ever heard of our group, the Faster Bastards.
Yes,
but yeah, you should come up. You'll have plenty of people to talk to while you run.
Sweet. And if you're ever in the RDU area, you have to hit us up. We will definitely take you on a run. And
that'd be awesome.
Nothing but trails here, man. I mean, like, and not trails.
I ran down there one time. Like, there was like I forget the name of it. It was a trail thing. But like, I went behind like a supermarket area or something and ran along like a paved
Parkway, Umstead. There's a lot of places around here.
Yeah. It was cool. All right, yeah, we'll have to make it up sometime or down sometime. Either way.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Thomas.
All right, guys.
Take care.
Bye, Thomas.
Right, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, thanks again to Thomas for joining us on the show. We had an awesome time speaking with him. Really cool to hear his insight on shoes and stuff like that. We do hope that you'll subscribe to the podcast and also follow us on social media. We are on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Two Dads Run Podcast. And if you want to reach the show, you can email us at twodadsrunpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, everyone.